Good evening. You know, I thank God daily for allowing me to be a part of the body of Christ, and especially a leader of this congregation. I have a confession to make. For several months, I thought I was being ineffective and not very helpful in helping spiritually members of this congregation. So I submitted a letter of resignation at the end of this month. But after I've had prayers and words of encouragement and comfort, and those thoughts have changed. And I no longer have that feeling. I've always had a desire to serve and still have a desire to serve this congregation, and wish that you would continue to send up your prayers and your thoughts that I may be much more effective in serving in a leadership capacity at this congregation. I thought I'd bring a lesson tonight on God limits all disturbances. And it was taken from Job 1:1-8, where it discusses Job's character and his wealth. Job writes, "Man born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Job 14:1. Of course, Peter writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:8. Have you ever wondered what God is doing all day? Well, take note. For this message, you will need your Bible, smartphone, and a pencil or paper. But first, consider the joy of Paul. Philippians 1:4, 18:2. Always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for all. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached or Christ is proclaimed, and in this he rejoiced. Paul wanted members of the body of Christ to make his joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Joy. Jesus, others, and you. If we keep that in proper perspective, we'll be what God would have us to be. This joy was not just for the apostles, but for all Christians. James 1:2-3 and Romans 5:3-4, 1 Peter 4:12-3 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery darts." This abiding joy is found only in the Lord. Life is more than our time spent together. So I'd like for you to take some of the issues of your life and place them in this lesson. There are a lot of hurting people in this world, and many are without hope. Many show up at my office. They are hurting. As Christians, we need to share our biblical principles that will help them withstand the issues that confront us every day. The scripture says, "Job was the wealthiest man in the East, and he lived in the land of Uz. Though he was wealthy and a perfect man, he remained spiritually focused, and he feared God. He was not only concerned about himself, but also the spirituality of his children." Verse 5 said, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offering, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." Job was not just concerned about their external behavior, he was concerned of what was going on in their heart. Satan came to God and charged God, charged Job, with serving him because of his wealth and his help. Why should Satan say that? Because there are folks just like that. You are this way, or you act that way, because you got this or you got that. They are saying one served God because of his or her health and wealth. But if they lose one or the other, or both, they would stop serving God. There are some who say, I would serve the Lord if he blessed me adequately with health and wealth. But what God does to prove and disprove Satan and man's theory, he allows Satan to take Job's health and wealth to prove that Job will keep right on serving him. So Christians, hold fast to your healthy perspective of God. During our trials, it's easy for us to lose healthy perspective of God, the perspective of God we had the day we got our first job, thankful and full of excitement. But did that perspective change after we got there, found out our heart and how long we had to work, how little appreciation we received for our hard and dedicated work? Christians must maintain a healthy perspective of God. We have seen the same thing happen to us, some members. After membership is placed in a local congregation, everybody is so warm and nice. Members are excited to be a part of that body of believers, only to find out after a few weeks there, you're not so excited to be in the presence of some folks. What then happened to your healthy perspective of God? Christians, we maintain our focus on God. We must maintain our focus on God. During our trials, it's easy to lose our healthy perspective of God, so we must do just like Job. We have to work and struggle, or we'll lose our healthy perspective of God. Maintain a healthy perspective of God. If our perspective becomes unhealthy, it's likely to unravel our fellowship with fellow Christians, and then God. It's going to drain our motivation and enthusiasm. So let us Christians who continue to express genuine love for one another also be thankful for mothers and fathers who, in spite of it all, have maintained their healthy perspective of God. You know how it was when your children, your sons, 9, 10, 11, they came to church with you every Sunday and they wanted to be in Bible class and participate in worship services. You thought, now there is a young man, young woman, that's going to be faithful in the church. But now they're in their 20s and they're not come at all. It gets easy for you to lose your healthy perspective of God. The little girl that used to run and jump up on your lap and for hugs and kisses when she was 7, 8, and 9, but now and in her 20s, you hardly see her. She's single with children of her own. It is with great difficulty to get her to the building for services. It's easy for you to lose your healthy perspective of God. You start raising fruitless questions. Why me? Why am I going through this? Why are my children like this? I'm just not so sure if there is any value in serving God. Well, newsflash. In the real world, we have to struggle every day in order to maintain our healthy perspective of God. If you don't have to struggle to maintain your healthy perspective of God, chances are you've already lost it. Well, what do I do? How do I maintain my healthy perspective of God? Let me suggest, remember. Why? Because forgetfulness is a tool that Satan uses so frequently to cause us to lose our healthy perspective of God. Peter exhorts Christians to add to their faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Then he explains that he who lacks these things is short-sighted and even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin, 2 Peter 1:5-9. So if we're going to maintain our healthy perspective of God, there are at least three things we should remember. First, Remember, God limits our disturbances. We must remember, as long as we are faithful to God, He limits our disturbances. And it does not matter what is going on in our life or how awful life may be treating us. If it was not for God, it would be worse. You may have lost everything you worked for or borrowed. So we need to remember that God limits our disturbances. Job was a disturbed man, but God limited his disturbances. God promised us that He limits our disturbances, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, and Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. God limits our disturbances, so we must remember that whatever is going on with us, God is the reason why it's not worse than it is. God allowed Satan to take Job's wealth at first, but He did not allow him to take his health. What is God doing? He is limiting Job's disturbances. Next, God allowed Satan to take his health, but He did not allow Satan to take his life. What is God doing? Even though serious and hurtful, God is limiting Job's disturbances. Second, remember, God listens to our discussions. We must remember that God is listening to our discussion. Do you not know that Christianity is the only religion that people can get upset and angry at their God, and He doesn't do anything? Even going back to the children of Israel, God listened to their discussions. Maintaining his healthy perspective of God. Now, when Job had his problem, he had three friends. They took turns visiting Job. One came, and each one of those three men had three speeches. They took turns trying to diagnose why Job where he was. Job's three friends diagnosed Job's problem. But what does God do? He just listened to what they had to say. As erroneous as it was, He listened to Job's friends. Job was okay, according to verse 1:22. For it says, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, until his friends came around and polluted his thinking." Maintaining his healthy perspective of God. Because the text says, again, I just stated that, then his friends are the one that came around and started working on Job on his perspective of God. Even his wife attacks his perspective of God. So his three friends came, and what does God do? God listens and hears the discussion. Job started questioning God. What does Job conclude from his friend and his wife? Job registered three complaints. Job 6:4, his first thought, "God is punishing me." He said, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terror of God do set themselves in array against me. What did I do wrong? God is punishing me." Job 19:7, his second thought, "God will not hear me. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment." Have you ever felt like that? God, I'm crying out. God is taking a vacation. He doesn't hear my cry. Questioning God. Joe Madison called this conscientious stupidity. I call it the same thing. When you start questioning what God is doing. Have you ever been in that situation when you are praying and you say, "When is God going to hear?" And guess what? God listened to all of that. In Job 21:7, his third complaint is, "God allows the wicked to prosper. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, or mighty in power?" So God not only limits our disturbances, but He listens to our discussion. Regardless of how foolish they might be, not only does He limit our disturbances and listen to our discussion, but He leads in our deliverance. Third, remember, God leads in our deliverance. Whoever and wherever we are, when we are coming out of our disturbances, it is God who is leading in our deliverance. Job 42 and 10. This is what God does for Job. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. God can lead in our deliverance when we do not turn our focus only internally. Poor me. Usually, when we start having trouble, we think about me, myself, and I. But I need to maintain an outward focus in spite of how bad things are going on within us. God leads in our deliverance. God issued first a challenge to Job, Job 38, 1 through 5. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkened counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it thou hast understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the lines upon it?" So God just asked questions. Job 41 and 2, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproved God, let him answer it." Job answered the Lord, Job 43, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." How often do we have to do that? Open up our mouth and say something that is pointless to no purpose, then say, "Oops." Job said, "I will cover up my mouth and shut up." Why? Because God is leading in his deliverance. In order for God to lead in our deliverance, we have to stop saying that which is unproductive and hopeless. And then God issued a second challenge in Job 46 through 8. "Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare there unto me, Will thou also dishonor my judgment? Will thou condemn me? That thou mayest be righteous?" Job responds, Job 42, 1 through 6, "I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hidest the counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." God answered, "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seest thee." Job responds, "Wherefore I harbor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Now Job's recovery starts. You can please finish reading Job 42, 10 through 7 at your leisure time. It would be very beneficial. And you know what the end results of that story. When God is leading in our deliverance, we need to shut up and listen. We lose our perspective of God when we start asking why. When we start having extreme issues in life, answers to why does not help. If I knew why I now have lung cancer because I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day for 20 years, what good does knowing do? I still have cancer. So we lose our healthy perspective of God when we start asking why. Why become a tool of Satan? Satan says, you need to ask God why you are having these misfortunes. How come me, Lord? In Job 10, Satan is telling Job, you need to abandon God because you don't know how come or why me. But this is what Job needs to say to Satan. I need to abandon you, Satan. Not because I don't know the how or why of my failures. I need to abandon you, Satan, because I don't know how or why of my success. Job 2:10, he said unto his wife, "Thou speakest as a foolish woman speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. When all of life is going well, the devil does not have a reason how or why. I know he wants you to believe that you are where you are because you are superior and intelligent. I know he wants you to believe that you are where you are, so kind and so favorable. But you can't answer as to how or why life has been so good for you. When I think about how good the Lord has been to me, it's very frightening. It's not frightening knowing it happened. is frightened at not accepting total allegiance to God. The goodness of God scares me a whole lot, more than troubles that I might experience in this life. But Satan wants you to ask how and why, and to trouble yourself and others. However, what I want to tell you tonight, since I've been a Christian, getting through the troubles of life, you don't need answers to why and how questions. What you need is a relationship with the three supporting entities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have an opportunity to do that tonight by hearing God's word. We understand that John 6:44-45, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days." He said, it's written in the prophets, "They shall all be taught of God. Every man that have heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me." And Luke 11:28, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." We find in John 15:1-3, the facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came here, lived, died, established the church, was buried, and rose again to die no more, but to give us the opportunity to have eternal life. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Acts 17:30, and they all was thinking about this God, unknown God. Luke says, "At the time of this ignorant God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Romans 10:10, "But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You have to confess Jesus Christ with your life by changing your life. In that repentance, you have to know that you've been wrong. You have to know what it is in your life that's wrong, that what you have to change in order to be pleasing unto God. God knows what that is, but God is patient, and he waits on you to make up your mind to stop doing the things that you're doing that's contrary to his word, to literally repent. Only you know what those things are. And then you confess those things, best of Christ, he will forgive you for those things and allow you to be a part of his body. Mark 16:16, once you do those things, the scripture said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For he that believeth not shall be damned." Once God, after baptism, God has saved you, what does he do with you? According to Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." He adds you to the body of Christ. He adds you to the church that Christ established, Matthew 16:18. And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You live faithful in that congregation, Revelation 2:12-10, and you shall receive a crown of life. So I'm asking, if there's anyone here tonight that is in need of baptism, or if there's anyone here tonight that is in need of repentance, we pray that you come forth and we stand and sing the verse of the song.